Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together concerning the Gospel of John. We pointed out before the importance of this book, and I've emphasized before, of course, that every book in the Bible is important. Every book has its purpose, its function. We are to believe every part of the Word of God. The reason we're especially studying from the Gospel of John is because of the two important themes in this book. First of all, the theme concerning the deity of Christ. How important it is that Jesus is truly God the Son. He's not simply the greatest teacher who ever lived, the greatest man who ever lived, the greatest example we've ever had, but Jesus is God the Son who came down from heaven to be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This proclamation by John is an important clue for us concerning the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he had to be the divine Son of God, or else he could not have the authority and the power and the ability to save us from our sins. And so that's the first main theme of the book. And the second main theme is the salvation the Lord Jesus offers us in his coming into the world. In other words, by his sacrifice on the cross, the Lord Jesus took our sins upon himself. He shed his blood, and by his blood we are cleansed from our sins. So when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come now to this Gospel of John, and we understand who he is and what he has done for us and what we must do if we're going to have relationship with God through him. And so these two themes are very important, and this is the reason for our study of the Gospel of John. Now, if we studied this book, we have noticed that God leads John to go through the subject of the deity of Christ and the salvation of the Lord very, very carefully. And the gospel, in fact, is sometimes called the gospel of belief. In the first part of the book, we find simply an introduction where it's introduced who Jesus is and why he has come. And then we have this time of consideration when people are considering what will they do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Will they trust him or will they not? Then there's a period of controversy when they're arguing with the Lord Jesus himself concerning who he is and why he has come. And the Lord Jesus, without any compromise, clearly states who he is and why he has come. He tells them very clearly that all honor is to be given to him. And in fact, as we pointed out before, all men are to honor the Son even as they honor the Father. In other words, he's equal in every way with the Father, and he's able to be our Savior from sin. And then there's this period of conflict, when now there's a clash between belief and unbelief. And finally, we come to the period of crisis, when there's going to be this time when people are going to openly oppose the Lord Jesus. They're going to hate him. They're going to seek to kill him. Now, in this most recent study, we've been talking about the period of conference, when the Lord Jesus now withdraws with his disciples into a private place where he can teach them concerning their lives and concerning their future. We pointed out as we began this study of this period of conference that these disciples were not very spiritual men yet, even though they'd been with the Lord Jesus for some 3.5 years. In their own lives, they were not yet very spiritual men. So the Lord Jesus is having to deal with their basic spirituality, just as he deals with our spirituality as we study and read and learn from the Word of God. So the Lord Jesus now is teaching them, and he goes through a number of different things. We are now studying from John chapter 15. First, they had begun in the upper room where Jesus had taught them concerning servanthood. In this upper room, the Lord Jesus had washed their feet, and then he had, to their shame and humiliation, he had insisted on completing this, and then he had taught them concerning their servanthood, the fact that they're to be the servants of each other. And of course, this was not in the heart of any one of them. Then in chapter 14, he goes into the study of some of the teachings he wants to leave with them. We pointed out, for instance, that he gives some 11 different ministries of the Holy Spirit in the three chapters, chapters 14, 15, and 16. We just noted those and will be referring to those as we go through this section. And now in chapter 15, there have been various things he has taught them, including the persecutions they're going to face. We Christians have to accept the same truth, and that is the truth that the Christian life is not easy to live. There will be people who will misunderstand us, who may even dislike us and despise us because of the stand we take for the Lord. And yet the value of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ far exceeds any difficulties we will ever face in the Christian life. Now as we come to chapter 15, closing off this chapter, verses 26 and 27, there is further teaching concerning the Holy Spirit. And I want to just note with you for a few moments about this. We listed the various ministries of the Holy Spirit earlier in our study, the 11 different ministries. But now we've come to the eighth of these ministries of the Holy Spirit, and it's that of teaching us the full truth concerning the Lord Himself. Now this truth is very important concerning the Holy Spirit. It is very important that we accept without any doubt, without any question, without any rejection of the truth concerning the Lord Himself. In other words, sometimes people have doubts. Can Jesus really be who He claims to be? Has He really done what He claims to have done? Did He really do all of the works that are claimed about Him in the four Gospels? And the answer is yes. He really is who He said He was. He really has come to save us from our sins. He really has done everything that the Gospels record about Him. And so the Holy Spirit reassures our hearts. He teaches us the full truth concerning the Lord Jesus and reassures our hearts. And so this teaching of the Holy Spirit and what He is teaching us is one of the main stumbling blocks for liberals and the cult groups. In other words, they're not being taught by the Holy Spirit. They're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so the doubts are surely going to come. And we have to resist this pressure that they put upon us sometimes. In other words, they're trying to cast doubts. One man in America has dedicated his whole life to tearing apart the Gospels, trying to discover what did Jesus really say? What did He really do? So this man has cut down the four Gospels practically into one Gospel. His belief, of course, is unbelief. In other words, his belief is that Jesus could not have done these things. He could not have claimed to be who the Gospels claim Him to be. And therefore, his belief is that there is unbelief. In other words, he has simply turned against any truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, without this correct understanding and full acceptance of these truths concerning Jesus, there can be no real relationship with Him. There can be no partaking of the results of His work. There can be never anything precious about Him to us, precious and real to us in our lives. So knowing and following the truth about Him is our foundation for all that He wants us to do and all He wants us to be in our lives. And so we need to come to Him with full assurance, and the Holy Spirit will give us this assurance if we have tender and open hearts. Now, I want to say this again, and I want to emphasize this truth. This understanding concerning the Lord Jesus can only come with surety through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be as He enlightens our hearts and makes very clear every teaching, every claim of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit clears up every question, every possible doubt that we might have about Him, and He brings us to full submission and commitment to Him. In other words, without doubt, without any question in our minds, we come to full submission and commitment to Him. And so the final result of this ministry of the Holy Spirit will be that we ourselves will be dedicated to testifying to others about Him and representing Him to others, as we will be completely committed to Him. We know who He is. We know what He's done. We understand our relationship with Him. We understand the results of this relationship and also its responsibilities. And so we accept these responsibilities now, and we go forward in our lives, living out our lives to the glory of the Lord Jesus. Now we come to chapter 16 of John. And in this chapter, the Lord continues His teaching He had begun in chapter 15, verses 18 to 25. And in that section of Scripture, He talks about those who would oppose the truth and persecute them as the servants of the Lord. We find this especially in verses 1 to 6 of chapter 16. Now He points out that such people who oppose Him and oppose the gospel, and of course will oppose us, will actually think that they are serving God in what they do. We see this in the testimony of the Apostle Paul, for instance. Remember, for some time the Apostle Paul was a hater of the Lord. He hated Jesus. He hated everything about Him. He was determined to destroy any testimony concerning Him. He was a Pharisee, perhaps a member of the ruling council of the Jews, and he had determined that he was going to stamp out this religion. And so he would get permission from the high priest, and he would go from city to city trying to stamp out this religion. And the interesting thing is that in his testimony in chapter 22, verses 3 to 5, and in chapter 26, verses 9 to 12, Paul says that he actually thought he was serving God in hating Jesus and trying to stamp out the Christian religion. Very interesting, his own testimony there. And so this was his experience and the experience of many others. They thought they were actually serving God with their opposition to the Lord Jesus. Now we know, of course, in Acts chapter 9, that the Apostle Paul was gloriously saved. The Lord met him there on the road, and in just an instant, as he saw the vision concerning the Lord, he was converted and deserted everything he had ever tried to do against the Lord, deserted everything he had ever believed, and came now to the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted righteousness in him. We see this taught in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, where he defends his background as a Jew, and then in verses 7 to 9, where he put all of that background aside, and he said that he had found righteousness in the Lord. And so in this passage of Scripture, as we come into the Gospel of John chapter 16, the Lord now introduces the ninth of his coming ministries of the Holy Spirit. He had already talked about these people who would be opposers. He had talked about the stand that they would take and everything. But now in verses 7 to 12, he introduces this ninth of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, this ministry is a very important ministry in any witness we do for the Lord, and I want to talk about this a little bit. And this ministry is a ministry of convicting lost people of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Now, this is a very important ministry, a very critical ministry of the Holy Spirit, because this convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit means that we ourselves cannot penetrate the hearts of lost people. We can preach to them, we can share with them the Word of God, we can in every way exhort them to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but only the Holy Spirit can penetrate their hearts. And we who witness for Him have to realize this. God still uses us as witnesses for Christ. He carries the gospel through our lips and through our lives, but only the Holy Spirit can complete the work that is necessary, the work of convicting people of sin, of drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching them the full truth concerning Him, and then helping them to make this clear decision concerning salvation. Now, this ministry, of course, of convicting, is mainly a ministry in the lives of unsaved people who need to understand their sinful condition and their need of a Savior. And without this understanding of their own lost condition and their need of a Savior, they will never be willing to make a decision about trusting the Lord as their Savior from sin. So this preparing ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important. Now, it is true that the Holy Spirit also convicts us of sin. He also reveals to us sins in our lives as our hearts are tender and open before God. He shows us things we need to get right with God. But this ministry mentioned in this passage, verses 7 to 12, is primarily a ministry to the unsaved. Now, without the work of the Holy Spirit in this ministry, I want to repeat this again. The unsaved people might never acknowledge their need of a Savior. In other words, they need to be convicted of sin, to admit their sin, to humble themselves before God in admitting their sin. We see this example of this need in the lives of many of the Jews who would seek to stand before God in their own righteousness and the keeping of the law. We see this, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is preaching to the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. Thousands of people are gathered around him. Peter now has stood up to preach to them, and there lays upon their heart by the Holy Spirit a deep conviction of their need of a Savior. In other words, they were deeply moved. We find this down as we come down to verses 38 and 39 and 40. They are deeply moved. And they cry out and they ask, what shall we do? What is it you want us to do? And what does God want us to do? And so the reply is, they're to repent and they're to follow the Lord. And we see this again, of course, in other passages of Scripture. We see it, for instance, in Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to chapter 3, verse 8. In other words, the Jewish people, and I say this very respectfully, were faithfully following the law. But under God, they, like others, were lost sinners. They needed a Savior from sin. No matter how faithfully they kept the law, they still needed a Savior from sin. So in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 9, he says, "They are all under sin." He's speaking now of the very wicked person mentioned in chapter 1, verse 18 to 32. He speaks of the self-righteous Gentile, and then he speaks of the very strict law-keeping Jewish person who also needs the Savior. So we see this again in the life of the Apostle Paul, and I've referred to this, and let me just come back to this for a moment. He was a proud Pharisee and a perfect keeper of the law. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says, "Under the law he was blameless." He uses this phrase, blameless. But he had to put everything else aside that he had ever depended upon to save him from his sins, and he had to come to the Lord and find true righteousness before God. And in fact, in his life, he didn't even believe he had any sin. It wasn't a matter of being saved from sins. It was a matter he simply did not believe he had sin. So God had to show him his sinful, lost condition and bring him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit here is presented as the one who revealed this truth to us. And what a wonderful, wonderful truth this is. This truth concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And then there's also going to be a ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this is the 10th ministry of the Holy Spirit, in revealing the things concerning what is to come. In other words, he's going to reveal things to come. Let me put it in the simplest possible way. Now, this would be the gift of prophecy taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 and verse 28, and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, I've pointed out before, and I want to come back to this just for a moment, that we in our day do not have new revelations from God. There are people who are claiming that we do have new revelations from God, but this teaching is not according to the Scriptures. The revelations from God are now complete. And in fact, Revelation chapter 22 reveals that we cannot add to or take away from the word which has been given. The book of Deuteronomy says the same thing concerning the law. The Jews were not permitted to add to that Old Testament law or take away from it. In other words, it was a dictation of God, a dictum of God, that they could not add to or take away. So our revelation now is complete. But in that day, the day when John was writing, John was speaking, when the apostles were working for the Lord, they still were receiving new revelations from God. The New Testament had not yet been given, but book by book, revelations from God were coming. So this gift of prophecy was very, very important. So this ministry is a very important ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing things to come, prophecy that would be given to them. He would not only reveal the truth of the past and the present, but also all of the things they would need to know concerning God's plans and God's will for them in that day and in the future. Now, this will also include, of course, the coming of the Lord, the events surrounding the coming of the Lord, and everything they would need to know concerning the future. Now, I want to stop our study for this message, and I want to simply say that it's wonderful that God has provided for every need in our lives. As we've been studying through this period of conference, it's very important that we clearly understand that we are provided for in every possible way. First of all, we're provided for in our salvation. If we're willing to humble our hearts, acknowledge our sin before God, and come to the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin, God will perfectly take away our lost condition and give us new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be born again by the Spirit of God. And this is a very important step that perhaps some of you might need to take. You may be depending upon religion and other things to save you. But religion cannot save you. Not the church, not the things you do in the church, not anyone else can save you. Only Jesus died for your sins, and he's the only one to whom you can come for salvation. And then we as Christians also devote and dedicate our lives completely to him. In other words, we belong to him. We've been bought by his blood, and so we dedicate our lives to him. I trust that you will realize these important truths as you listen to these broadcasts, as you listen to this study of the Gospel of John. that in your hearts you will both do and be everything God has planned for you. May the Lord bless you, each one.